Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, our beloved listeners. I hope you are having fun wherever you are, whatever you are doing, flowing in divine river of love, joy, peace, and compassion, and keep yourself nourished and charged up so you are most effective when you have to overcome your challenges and you're charged up to do that work and gain the benefit and the joy of staying charged up. I'm very happy to say we also have Iman and Marilyn with us. Hi, Iman. Hi, Marilyn.
Hey.
Hello, everybody.
I hope you guys are doing well also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you very much.
I'm excited about today's program. We're talking about stay in touch with our out-of-body friends and family members. It's such a lovely discussion to have. And so in this discussion, I think we can really benefit not only our in-body wonderful listeners, but also we are serving the out-of-body, our out-of-body listeners to our best ability in accordance to divine plan, which is most important to recognize that we need to serve all, whether they happen to be in-body or out-of-body, we're still a service organization.
Before you continue, may I give a quick shout-out to all our good listeners and fans on Facebook? Our page is growing by arms and leaps, and it's just going really nice. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for playing along, for sharing your information, for communicating with us, as Amin is talking about, and letting us know, what you like and what you prefer and what your needs, where your needs are. Our radio programs also are mostly for the purpose of addressing your needs. So please keep your comments coming to help@healingpack.org or visit us at www.healingpack, as in healing, P-A-Q, paulandyquinn.org, and let us serve you best. So now I've done my announcement, Amin. Back to you.
Thank you. That was wonderful. I'm so happy we are able to serve our listeners to our best ability, and our rate of growth demonstrate that we are in the right track to serve you, and that's what we are here for. I think before we start our, you know, healing channeling session and, you know, set the protection, I would love to share with you and our listeners this wonderful writing. And the story about this writing is the experience that Prophet Muhammad had when he was in a trance state and he was accompanied by Archangel Gabriel through the many layers in throughout the divine, the different vibrational sites and layers. And this particular article that I read, just a section of it, the name of it is the Station of the Lot Tree, or the Station of the Furthest Boundary. And this is how it goes. Let me read this to you, and then we can set up our protection. The Prophet Muhammad and Archangel Gabriel moved forward. Of course, I'm starting in the middle of the article, but this is the key point that I want to bring up. A stern and severe angel appeared and covered the horizon before them. Archangel Gabriel said, "O Prophet, this is the angel of death, Azrael." The angel of death said, "Welcome, O Muhammad, you who bear goodness, and welcome to all the prophets and their nations. This is the site, or vibrational site, from which I gaze at the destinies of every person and seize the spirits of those whom I am commanded to bring to eternal life." So this is the state where one moves from in-body state to an out-of-body state. The Prophet asked, "Tell me how you take the souls of the dying." The angel of death revealed to the Prophet, When God orders me to take the spirit of a human being at the last hour of his or her life and the first hour of his or her afterlife, I send to him or her my deputies, who carry with them the smell of paradise and a branch from the tree of paradise, which they put between his or her eyes. When that sweet smell reaches him or her, and he or she catches a glimpse of that heavenly branch, his or her spirit is attracted and his or her soul begins to ascend to paradise until it reaches his or her throat. At that time, I descend from my sight and I take his or her spirit with the greatest care, because God wants this moment to be easy on his or her servant. I then carry his or her soul to paradise. On the way, whenever I pass by angels, then angels will greet this soul and salute it until it reaches the presence of its Lord. God the Exalted says to that soul at that time, "Welcome to the good spirit which I created and placed in a good body. O my angels, write the upper layer of paradise as a reward for that person." Then angels take him or her up to paradise, where he or she will see what God has prepared for him or her, and he or she will be happy to stay there. However, God orders the spirit to go back to his or her body on earth. When he or she can see the people washing him or her, crying for him or her, and all those who love him or her, standing around him or her, until they take the body to the grave. There the soul says to him or her, "Welcome, O my beloved one. I was always yearning for you when you were above me. Now you are in me, and I will show you what I am going to give you." Immediately, his or her grave will be enlarged beyond sight until the two angels of the grave come and ask him or her about his or her Lord and about his or her belief. He or she will give them the correct answers by God's permission. At that time, they will open for him or her a door leading to paradise, and his or her spirit will go back upward to the same vibrational site where God first called him or her to his or her presence. And this is the saying, "I remember when death had separated us, I consoled myself with the thought of the beloved prophet. I said, all of us go on this way one day. Who does not die today, he or she will die tomorrow. Be happy, O my soul, because your Lord is waiting for you, and the Beloved One is calling you." What a beautiful writing about the transition that we have from in-body into out-of-body, into the presence of divine, as we are in presence of divine when we are even in-body. I guess it's time to take a deep breath and let that joy, let that love, let that peace, let that compassion enter into our heart. With every breath, we can expand ourselves to recognize our beloved family, our beloved friends, who happen to be in body, but also with the second breath, as you are allowing love, joy, peace, and compassion gush through your heart, acknowledge the presence of our out-of-body family and friends, because they are with us at all times, simply because they are not limited by physical body anymore. They can be with us anywhere, anytime, under any condition, loving to support us, loving to mingle with us, to play with us, to have fun with us. We just have to acknowledge their presence. Now, with the next breath, as you are allowing that love, joy, peace, and compassion enter into you as your birthright, you may set your intention. I synchronize my intention to be the same and similar as divine intention. God, collective consciousness, source, self, I'm your child, living on earth, serving you and I. Please allow love, joy, peace, and compassion gush through my heart, and I filter every thought, every emotion, and every physical challenge through the lens of love, joy, peace, and compassion. Now that we set our intention, it's time to practice. Welcome that thought that may arise about your out-of-body friend, your out-of-body family member. Welcome that emotion that may arise about your out-of-body friend, your out-of-body family member. Hug it, hold it, love it, squeeze it, instead of judging it, instead of categorizing it. If there was some hardship, forgive it. As you forgive it, it makes it much easier for our out-of-body friends and family members to communicate with us. If you are blaming anything, if you are blaming yourself for anything, if you're experiencing guilt, if you're experiencing any fear-based emotion, I should have done this, I should have done that while they were alive, forgive them. Bring them into that love, joy, peace, and compassion. As you do that, as you are healing these dark clouds, these emotions, these thoughts, it is much easier for them to communicate with you. Give you the essence of a hug. Give you the essence of being with you in a state of joy, in a state of love. We request for guardians of the East to protect us from the East. We request for guardians from the South to protect us from the South. We request for guardians from the West to protect us from the West. We request for guardians from the North to protect us from the North. We request for guardians from above to protect us from above. We request for guardians from below to protect us from below, and we request four guardians from the center to protect us from the center. We request for Archangel Gabriel, Archangel Michael, Archangel Raphael, Archangel Uriel, Archangel Samuel, Archangel Jophiel, and Archangel Zadkiel to protect us from the seven corners, also inviting the seven prophets, the seven Taoist immortals, and our ancestors, our beloved out-of-body friends, our beloved out-of-body family members, to join us during this healing and channeling session. We also ask for Archangel Metatron and the Angel of Death to be present with us during this broadcast, so when the people listen to this broadcast, the live version or the archive version, with their open heart, they can sense the presence of you wonderful ascended masters, of you wonderful archangels, of you wonderful family members who are out of body, of you wonderful friends who are out of body. So every one of us can have the most heartfelt experience with you during this program, and also throughout the day and night. So we celebrate together being present in divine at all times, regardless of whether we happen to be in body or out of body, we are all together.
It's interesting. One of the very first things that's coming in terms of channeling, they want to make a point of saying that when you brought up listening to the archive version, when you listen to the archive version, you call to attention that we have access to all of the ascended masters, all of the archangels, whether we're listening to it live or later on. Everything happens in real time. And one of the best stories that describes this, I was channeling for somebody whose significant other was out of body. And his name is David, and he was telling his significant other, you know, you just have to get a message to my mother, you have to get a message to my sister. They sit in the kitchen and they talk about me, and I love it. They talk about things they love about me, and they sit and they laugh. And every Sunday they do this, and then they get in the car, and then they go to the cemetery, and they stand there for a long time. Would you please just get a message to them that I'd rather stay in the kitchen? I don't need to go there. That wasn't a place that I hung out. I love hearing what they have to say. But you see, there was a disconnect, and not a big one, but a small disconnect where they didn't realize that he was right there, that they didn't have to go anywhere else in real time in terms of paying their respects or being present with him. So their idea of being with a physical representation, he says, very nice, it's a stone. Stone is lovely, it's very nice, but it really doesn't represent him. Energetically, if they open their hearts to feel what was happening, especially when they laughed, when they talked about his antics and his mischief, if they just allowed their vibrational level to go up higher, they would feel me, he says. They would understand and they would feel my presence, and they wouldn't need to go anywhere else. I'd much rather hang out in the kitchen. Now, it's interesting because this is true for many, many entities out there that I've channeled for. Everybody is different. Maybe some people do like to go to the cemetery. Maybe some that like pomp and circumstance. But for the most part, activating and accessing and being able to feel that they're present is right there wherever you are in any given moment. And none of that shifts. You don't have to be somewhere else. You don't have to be in a certain building or with a book in your hand. But energetically, all of that is open to you all the time. There were a few other things. They're just laughing out there. They're having so much fun. You know, when you talk about also, that's a beautiful passage, I mean, that you were reading about the spirit ascending. One thing that's amazing, that when the spirit reaches what we would call paradise, the spirit has access, because let's say there's an entity here that has family and friends and loved ones. What would paradise be if you didn't have access to the people you love the most? Now, granted, there are plenty of people out of body waiting for you, ready to greet you. And they access you, and they hug you, and you can be with them. And yet, would it be paradise for a newly delivered soul to not be able to see their children, their loved ones, their dogs and cats, their friends? That wouldn't be paradise for them. So they have the ability to basically transcend so many levels of vibration. And they can come basically from the highest vibration, and where they're meeting the source and where they're with divine intelligence and where paradise basically is, and bring paradise to us by being with us. We always have access to them, and they have access to us, because their paradise wouldn't be paradise unless they could see us. How we respond, how we heal, how we expand our energy, how we grieve, because we do need to grieve, otherwise that energy can become dormant and we can become sick. So we do need to grieve. But what's coming in, reading after reading, is that even though we must cry, we must let things out of our body, so much leaves when we laugh also. If we can laugh at least as much as we cry, if we can have joyous thoughts at least as much as we grieve, they connect with that. One thing I've learned from channeling for years is that I'm not working for the people here that call me and say, oh, I'd like to channel or I want to talk to Dad. I'm working for the people out there. And just to give you an idea of how it works, I'll have a list of people, and I'll go down the list, and I'll just look at the names, and when somebody taps me on the shoulder, that's when I call people back, not before. It isn't up to the person here. It's up to the person out of body that says it's the right time. Maybe we need to wait for something. Maybe they'll have a spontaneous experience and a eureka moment. And that's happened many times. Or I'll hear something like, I can't believe you didn't call for months, and today is our anniversary. Today is his birthday. And it's a way that they can come through and let us know that they're with us. They're mischievous. They're smart. They maintain their personalities. They always do. And they'll use every which way, especially kids. They're so creative. You know, I think I've mentioned it before on the show how kids will, they'll rile up the dog. One kid talked about that the dog will go to the foot of the stairs, look up to where it looks like an empty staircase, and bark its doggy head off. And he's saying that's his signal to the family that he's in the house, that he's there for dinner. It would happen every day right before dinner. He wanted the family to know that he was there. They enjoy celebrations. They enjoy acknowledgement. Just a few days ago, somebody called and could barely, you know, they left a message. I haven't spoken to them yet. But they left a message that their daughter, 6 years old, just recently, and it feels quite suddenly, passed out of body. And she could barely get the words out. And then all of a sudden, her voice got a little strength. And she said, and her name was, and she gave the name. And then all of a sudden I could feel a wave of strength, and she said, no, her name is. And I knew that while she left that message, and I'm getting this information now from this little girl, even though I haven't talked to her mom yet in person, that she was hugging her and said, no, I am. I still am. I am present and I am with you. Time and again, people who are out of body talk about how we need to be the plus, not the minus. You know, one young man who's out of body talks to his parents about the fact that, well, they came into body before him. Maybe they knew each other before any of them came in. That usually happens. But they came in into body. They met and they married, and then they had the gift of 3 children. What happens after that? Well, one of them, unfortunately, you know, or however, you know, that's how we look at it on the earth plane, of course. Of course we do. He was killed in a car accident. And he talks to his parents about the years they had together, that if they're going to mourn the rest of their life and not be present on the earth plane and present for their other children and celebrate, because he wants to celebrate with them, if they're not going to do that, then their years together were a minus and not a plus in their lives. And he really pointed out that all the years they had together, he has everything in his heart that, and in his mind and in his consciousness and in his energy that they taught him. And they have everything and all the mischief and love and fun of bringing up a little boy. And the thing is their life here going to be better? You know, it's interesting because time and time again, I hear kids out there talking about, they see kids around them, and the parents finally get there. And they say, oh my God, if I were going to get to be with you, I would have been much happier while I was on Earth. I would have been more present. The whole thing about them being available to us, they want us to live our life as fully and with as much joy as is humanly possible. Humanly possible because as humans we have to grieve too when we have our bad days. But they want us to expand on the earth plane. It isn't like horror movies would have it that the ghosties are out there trying to suck us into some void or some unconscious, horrible. That's just not true. That's the stuff of funny horror movies. The truth is that they come and their presence is to renew our commitment to expanding our life here on the earth plane. Be more present to the ones around us. And as we raise our vibration, the more we laugh, the more we connect, the more we pet puppies and smell flowers and all that good stuff, taste delicious things, all of those things that raise our vibration. It's all physics. Remember, it's all vibration. The more we raise our vibration, the happier we are on the earth plane, the easier it is to maintain and understand and have consciousness of the ongoing relationship in real time that we have with our loved ones out of body. It's happening whether we're conscious of it or not. I love doing readings where somebody comes through and they say, oh, you got your hair cut. It's really, really cute. And then you went and you bought this. And it's like the person will say, I understand that they can report what was going on while they were here, but how do they know what happened since they left? And the out-of-body person says, because I'm with you. I'm watching you. I'm rejoicing in everything you're doing. You know, every single kid that I've channeled, you know, the first thing the parent wants to know, are you happy? And the kid will always say, I only cry when you cry. And sometimes you have to. It's okay. But when you laugh, my spirit soars. When you're connected, when you're connected with God's bounty here on earth, it connects you to the source that created that bounty, raises your vibration. Because don't forget, the divine is the creator of all, whether we're in body or out of body. So how do we stay connected? By staying connected to the source. How do we do that? By our vibration. And so whenever we release ourselves and allow ourselves, we don't have to think our way there or work our way there, but as soon as we just release ourselves to the higher vibration, and usually the easiest way, God gave us the easiest puzzle on earth. It's our breath. We do it all the time. Clearly, anyone who's listening to this has been doing a pretty good job because they're alive. So, yes, we know we're breathing. But when you talk about the breath, and something we're all doing all the time, basically when you breathe in, if you're mindful of the breath, and you're mindful of taking in and absorbing basically all of the divine intelligence, it's almost like thinking of your breath as mouth-to-mouth resuscitation from the divine. We're drinking in the divine breath. And as we release that breath, our vibrational level rises. Just our intention, just our mindfulness. I will guarantee you that anybody listening to this that's allowing their vibration to go with it is starting to feel a quivering in the lower part of their stomach. And then it goes up to the chest. It's funny because I'll meet strangers and we'll talk about what we do and the things we like to do. And if it comes up that I channel and that I'm a medium, they'll start asking questions. And I watch as their body starts to tremble a little bit. Their vibration is going up. Just talking about it raises our vibration. Listening about it raises our vibration. Listening to what Amin had to say about the transition, listening to what I'm saying in terms of what's channeled and being brought in for what divine intelligence has chosen from basically they pull anything out of my mind and they add to it and people are coming in to add, you know, salt and pepper here and there and spice it up and give stories, but basically talking about it, everything that we're doing, it's lovely. We take in the words, and the words are wonderful. But the words are a means to raise our vibration, and the vibration goes up, and we can see, and we can feel, and we can hear, even when we're not conscious of it. Just about every reading I've ever done, they've said, you know what? Sometimes you're not aware of it, but when I hug you, you stop, and you'll put your hand up to your heart, or you'll catch your breath, or you'll smile, or you'll gasp, and you might not even know what's happening, but you're reacting. You're reacting. So there's a part of us that knows, for all of us, that knows absolutely without doubt that we're interacting with them. The degree to which we interact with them is up to us in terms of our desire, our expansion, and the raising of the vibration. The most important thing to remember is in a healthy relationship with and love that we spread to the higher vibrational field, it keeps us grounded. We don't need to leave the earth plane. If somebody is consumed with ideas of how to leave the earth plane in order to get to the person they love, it doesn't really work that way. You can't really leave that way because those thoughts, the denial of your own life, before your life should come to its natural end, that desire actually lowers the vibration. So it's really a beautiful puzzle that if you put together all the pieces the right way, our divine ability to access, be with, get comfort from, and have joy with our loved ones is directly proportionate to our ability to expand, absorb, share with people and loved ones here on the earth plane. Basically, the desire of the heart, as it expands, expands out to the higher consciousness, and when we are happy, they're happy.
If you agree, let's give a practical exercise to our wonderful listeners. Again, if you are listening to this live or archive, it doesn't matter, it's the same thing. This is what I'd like you to do. Just close your eyes and think about one of your out-of-body family or family member or friend. The minute that you think about them, the minute you let that emotion about them arise, trust your heart that they hear you, they sense you, they are present with you. Now, as you are thinking about them, as you are allowing your emotion for them arise, just from the bottom of your heart, hug him. Let him know how much you care for them. Let him know how much you love him. Let him know how much you like to be in contact with them and acknowledge their presence with you. You see, when we are not in physical body, the mass is not limiting us anymore. So it's like the minute I think of someone who is out of body, the minute I sense an emotion about someone who is out of body, essentially it's like dialing the phone number of a friend or a family member who happens to be in body. So if you have to use phone, cell phone, physically to contact someone who is in body, if you realize all that process starts from a thought, all that process starts from an emotion, the rest of it is a mechanical process. When we try to reach someone who is in body. But with our out-of-body family and friends, the minute we think of them, the minute we arise, we allow that emotion to arise about them, we just dial them. And as we dial them, they are with us. We are that by your cell phone, who is dialing the exact number that we need in order to access one of our out-of-body family or friends. practice that as we are going through this show. And as time goes by, trust your heart, trust your unique connection to those people. The other point that, you know, Marilyn, you brought up, it was so beautiful about grief. There is, if we may extend that a little bit, I think it will be great for ourselves as well as, you know, our listeners. There is a state of grief that we are grieving for someone because we miss their body. We miss their physical presence. That grief is totally okay. It's totally healthy. But there is another type of grief that we may be blaming ourselves for things we did to them, or things we told them, or events that occurred between us and them while they were alive, in body, in physical state, and blame ourselves for that. That type of grief causes our communication with them become more difficult. When we have those type of grief that we have personalized, essentially, as Marilyn said so beautifully, we lower our vibration. As we lower our vibration, two things happen. One is, as they try to communicate with us, it's more difficult for them to communicate with us because it's like static in line. We are closing our heart to that communication because we are self-punishing, self-blaming ourselves. So that's one key point to recognize, that grief for losing a loved one is different than emotionally and mentally punishing ourselves and blaming ourselves for certain things that they may have told us, we may have told them, certain actions that we may have taken, certain actions that they may have taken. All those type of grief are what work like pollution, like smog, like dark, like static, that not only it lowers our vibration, but it also causes some amount of frustration to arise within that out-of-body friend or family. Because what happens is our relationship with others, it takes two people. Our thought, our emotion on one side, their thought, their emotion on the other side. And that's the connection itself. So when we lower our vibration by blaming ourselves, by feeling guilty, by instead of accepting and practicing forgiveness, in compassion, joy, love, regardless of what occurred, and healing those, then those fear-based emotion slows down our vibration, as well as influences and slows down their vibration. It slows down our expansion, as well as it slows down their expansion. So when they try to communicate with us and we start blaming, we start having grief for ourselves, closing our heart, it causes them to start getting frustrated because they want to let us know that they are alive. Maybe out of body, but they're alive. They want to let us know they are present with us. And we can share among each other that essence of heart, that essence of sensing love when we hug someone in physical body, sensing compassion, sensing peace, sensing joy when we hug someone who is in a physical body. But when we hug an individual who is out of body, that essence, that sense of hugging, loving, having joy, hugging them, being in peace, hugging them, that essence is still there. That sense comes from our emotional state. That sense comes from our thought. It comes from our heart. We can experience all that, regardless of when someone is in body or someone is out of body. So it's most essential to recognize that when we practice grief for ourselves, when we self-blame ourselves for whatever doing we've done, whatever saying we've done, and we maintain those blames, those griefs, and just store it in our heart, store it in our emotional layer, store it in our mental layer, in our thought, not only we are making ourselves heavier, but also we are making our beloved out-of-body friends and family members heavier. And it becomes more difficult for them to stay in contact with us, to connect us.
Some part that might be useful to our listeners, guys, to address also is just before a person or a loved one is ready to transition to out-of-body, how we can help them with that process of transition, because the entities need to be ready to make that transition. Maybe Marilyn can channel and provide some answers that how would it be possible? What is one to do when a loved one needs to move from the physical plane to higher planes, and how we can help them even though there is a lot of grief and pain and denial in wanting to let them go?
Well, it's interesting. I think the most important thing you can do is just be present. Be present to whatever is happening for that person. Check your fear at the door and just be present with them. I've been called into channel for people who were about to transition and kept hanging on, and they were terrified, afraid to put their head down, afraid to close their eyes, and I've channeled and helped them to acknowledge that there would be plenty of people out there to help them and to receive them, channeling a lot of information. People do come. If you talk to anybody who's ever worked hospice, people always talk about the relatives that come to greet them. Yes. And also, those relatives, if you channel them, or if you don't have a medium there, you're just present, you can assure people that when they're out of body, very often, you know, somebody is leaving and they're leaving loved ones behind, you can really help them to understand that they'll have access to them. Very often, I hear from people who have passed that they were refusing to go. They were refusing to go, and then all of a sudden they saw their mother or their father or a husband or wife, somebody, and oh my God, they have that revelation that if they can see me, that means once I pass, I'll be able to see the people that are still here. They make that connection. If these people are coming for me and I have access to them, then I'll be able to. And so many people say, I'm just not going. Unless I know I can see this one or that one, I'm just not going. And so they get that reassurance before they pass. If you're witness to this, just being present and just acknowledging the reality that's happening for them can be the biggest blessing you can deliver. When Amin was talking, it reminded me of a situation where I have a very dear friend whose mother passed exactly 3 weeks before mine. And we had a conversation shortly after both mothers went, and they were friends with each other. And she was saying she was very, very upset, and she'll never forgive herself. And she's so upset, and her mother, she knows, will never forgive her because her mother kept trying to tell her, you know, I'm dying, I'm going now. And my friend kept saying, no, no, you're going to make it, you're going to make it, you're going to be okay. And she feels that she missed the opportunity to acknowledge what it was that her mother was trying to tell her. And at the same time, I just couldn't help laughing because I said, wow, my mom, who basically had, you know, Alzheimer's and was basically blind, all of a sudden became very lucid, and she started talking about all the relatives and my dad who were out of body for a long time. And I'll look over there, there's this one and there's that one. And of course, I could, I'm blessed in that I can see them, and I can see them all gathering. And then she just said, she got very clear, and she said, why are they here? And I said, well, they're here to help you. You're about to make the transition, and they're here to help you. And her face changed, and she said, oh, I understand. And she took her hand. She was so weak, and yet she took her hand, and she shooed them away and said, go away. Come back later. Come back later. I'm not ready. And my friend and I on the phone, we're sharing our stories, and we both start laughing, and I hear her mother say, why did you have to acknowledge to me that I was dying? I already knew. And then she pointed at me and said, you didn't make a mistake. You had to acknowledge that your mother was dying because she didn't know. Both of you were present and in the moment and doing what you needed to do because we, the mothers, we knew what was going on or didn't know what was going on, and you were with us and present. And this mother, my friend's mother, just thought it was hilarious. You didn't have to tell me I was dying, she said to her daughter, because clearly I was trying to tell you. So it's different for every person, but the thing is you need to be present to the best of your ability and realize that whatever it is you're doing in that moment is, you know, to the best of everyone's ability, and as long as your intention is pure for the comfort and love that you want to be present and love somebody. I mean, basically that's all there is. And if you do that, there's no reason for recriminations after. I mean, my friend's mom was really frustrated with my friend for torturing herself. You know, she was really upset about her grieving so much that she didn't do the right thing for her mother, you know. And yes. And her mother dealt with it with humor. We channeled her mom, and she thought it was hilarious. Let it go. It's just not true. We make assumptions with our loved ones who have passed, just like we make assumptions and have misunderstandings with the people who are in body with us, you know. So, you know, in my case, and I think with most people who have been around people who are passing, you know, people who work with, you know, in hospitals and in intensive care units and especially hospice workers, it's amazing. I mean, the patterns are there again and again. People come and the room fills up. I'll never forget with my father-in-law when he was transitioning out, the room filled with people. And he's looking around the room, and then he looked at me, and I guess he realized I was the only one in the group of us that could see them because I was looking all around his head and my jaw was probably hanging, and I was just, you know, amazed at this scores of people who were there to collect him and to be with him. And his face lit up, and he said, you see them. You see them. They're there. You see them. And he was so excited, and he was filled with joy. And it was one of the images that I'll never forget. His auric field was huge. And it encompassed so many of the people that came to be with him during his transition. Anybody who's been in a room where there's a birth and where there's somebody transitioning out, and again, a peaceful transitioning out, we're not talking, you know, sudden tragedy, but where somebody is blessed enough to have a peaceful transition, the energy is very similar. And again, like Amin said, we're going to have grief. We're thinking ahead. We're going to miss the physical. We're going to miss, you know. Of course, we have thoughts like that, but if you're able to stay present, you'll find that the energy in the room, it's a blessed energy. It's a very high vibration. And there are many, many entities that come and accompany a birth where somebody comes into the physical plane and when somebody goes back home. We're never alone. That's an assumption we've made here on the physical plane that just isn't true. When people are at their darkest time and at their darkest moments, there are entities surrounding them. We aren't born alone. We might be the only one born in that room at that moment, but there are people and angels and archangels and the divine intelligence accompanying us. And like Amin said in that beautiful passage that he read, they all come to bring us home as well with the promise that we have access to those we love. Because what would heaven be if we couldn't reach out and be with and hug and be close to and monitor the healing of those we love best?
Yeah. And the beauty of that passage is, like, on one hand, there is a goodbye party going on. On the other hand, there is a welcome party going on. It's just a transition. And to complement what you said about your experience, Marilyn, with your mom, I remember when I was with my dad in 93 during the last last few hours of his presence, where he had a very hard time to breathe and be present because of his the type of disease he had in 93, I started feeling the presence of his mother in the room. And that presence was going on for a few hours. And as I noticed that it was getting harder for him to breathe, I finally held him in my arm and said, "Dad, listen, your mom is here. Your family is here. Many of these wonderful beings are here to take you to the light, to accompany you to the light. It's time to go. It's time to let go." And as I was whispering into his ear, all of a sudden, this beautiful big smile appeared on his entire face. As you said, he started glowing as he was expanding. And he just transitioned as the angel of death put that smell under his nose with a big smile in his face. And that's when I started realizing that, wait a minute, there is so much more for us to learn. There is so much more for us to expand. Now, the other key point that I think is important for our wonderful listeners to know about is the fact that every person, every being, animal, plants, planets, sun, stars, human, pets, as we transition into the divine presence, when we go out of body, we go through a healing process. And during that healing process, we are totally healed from any of our fear-based emotions, from any of our fear-based thoughts, and we really get a full dose, if I may say, healing. Now, after that healing process, based on our free will, which exists whether we happen to be in body or out of body, we choose at what vibrational level we decide to be in present and how to expand. At the same time, because of our connection with every physical being who is still in body, friends or family members, if they are holding some kind of grief, they're holding some kind of blame upon those friends and family members who are out of body, what happens is two things. One is we keep our heart closed. We keep our heart in a state of, in a fear-based state. And at the same time, those emotions that we are hanging on to it in a disease state, those thoughts that we are hanging on to it in a disease state, it also has a tendency to lower their vibration. It's like excess weight, excess energetic weight, which is up on the shoulder. So when you really consider that in a relationship, because there are usually two parties engaged in a relationship, one party who is out of body goes through a full healing session, they're totally healed, but at the same time they cannot claim 100% are healed for as long as someone in body is hanging on to those blames, is hanging on to those guilt, whether for ourselves or for them. So the other point which is important is their communication with us is so important, because that communication allows us to get an imagery, to get a picture of an out-of-body presence. And when we understand that state, when we bring that state to our heart, when we acknowledge its existence, our ability to integrate that state of out-of-body while we are present in body, that will accelerate our expansion as well as their expansion. And so that's so beautiful. Instead of hanging on to those fear-based emotions, instead of hanging on to sadness, instead of hanging on to whatever other emotion which is causing any of us to feel heavy, the second we let go of that, the second we hug that out-of-body family member, that out-of-body friend, that out-of-body pet, two things happen. Their rate of expansion and our rate of expansion accelerates. It speeds up. Then we can communicate, we can mingle, we can love each other, we can have joy with each other at a much faster rate, anytime, anywhere, 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. And that's the beauty of this transformation that we are talking about.
And, we only have a few minutes left, but for the expansion, would you please repeat the instruction on inhaling and exhaling, and so the listeners would have something to follow?
Just close your eyes. Take a deep breath, imagining love, joy, peace, and compassion coming to your heart. As the thought of that out-of-body friend, out-of-body family member, out-of-body pet, whoever else comes to your mind, instead of judging it, instead of categorizing it, just bring it to your love, joy, peace, and compassion. Deep in your heart, let that individual, the out-of-body individual, know that how much you love them, how much you've forgiven them, how much you appreciate their presence, and how much you want their guidance, their support, their love for you as they happen to be out-of-body and you happen to be in-body. Marilyn, do you have a few more words? You just have a couple of minutes left.
I think the most important thing, you know that term, as above, so below. They want us to be happy. We want them to be happy. We're contingent on each other. You know, they send us love. We send them love. Basically, the interaction is immediate. It's always there. And whenever we can expand ourselves and include them, it raises their vibration and it heals them. And, of course, that's all we want for those we love, and that's all they want for us. So it continues to be interactive always.
Well, at this time, we close the circle. We ask and appreciate and love the guardians of the seven corners, the archangels who protect us, to provide the most clear communication, our beloved Ascended Master, our beloved family members, our beloved friends. We love you all and I appreciate your presence with us at all times.
Thank you for listening. Have a great, great time. Have a great week. And till next session.
Yeah, we just send kisses to all of our listeners and all of our out-of-body listeners.
Absolutely.
So, Marilyn, if you have some kisses for our listeners and out-of-body listeners, let it go.
Well, they're all there. I've had so many kids say, every time you send me a kiss, it just lights up everything.
Aww.
We have to remember that.
I finished this program with a big kiss for
with
you all.
With a big kiss.
Love to everybody.
Yes.
What fun.
Yeah, that was great.